I'm going to pull back the curtain on how some of the stuff in our church works. You know, there are pastors that they already know what they're going to be preaching on in May of 2028. Like I'm not kidding. They sit down and they know they're going to do a 4-week series on this. They knew they're going to have this person come in and they're going to go to this conference in this town or country. And like they strategize, they get with the associate pastors and they strategize about what subjects, what topics they're going to hit at what time of the year. We don't do that. That's not us. We're not even real themey. Like we decorate for Christmas, but we don't really do like Christmas sermons or Easter sermons or Mother's Day sermons. We just follow the Holy Spirit. And so when you notice the Holy Spirit doing something, when you see a pattern emerge, especially around here, that is God. Next year, 2026, I will have been at this church for 30 years. Now, I realize some of you haven't even been alive on this earth for 30 years. God bless you. But I will have been at this church for 30 years. Now, I haven't been preaching here for 30 years. I came and I didn't enter into the church preaching. That was something that, you know, came on gradually. But I don't remember ever being told what to preach on. Now, I've been told what not to preach on plenty of times. And I, you know, after I preached on something, I got told not to preach on that again. So, you know, but I've never been told what to preach on. And so if you noticed over the last few weeks, God has been on a theme. And it's truly been him, because we didn't get together and strategize and say, now you preach on facing fears, and then I'm going to preach on being faithful, and then I'm going to preach on extraordinary, and then you come back and preach. So if God is on a thing, then it behooves us, it is wise, it is wisdom that we get on board where God is going. So I don't have a Christmas sermon this morning. I have a sermon of what not to do. Now, there used to be a show called What Not to Wear, and they would go, you know, these poor people, their friends and family would nominate them to be on the show, and they would go out and secretly record them in what they were wearing. And it was usually things that were not flattering to their body type. It wasn't conducive to the career that they were wanting to have. And so then they would teach them what not to wear and what to wear. And Pastor Lena has always taught us on the preaching team that you've got to say what you mean, but then you also have to say what you don't mean, because inevitably people are coming from different places, different backgrounds, different cultures, different life experiences. And if you don't say what you don't mean, they will think you mean something that you didn't mean. Did we follow that Dr. Seuss theory there? And so we're going to look at what not to do. And I want to, Dan, do we have that photo? Pastor Lena, last week, I texted you a photo. Did you get it? If not, it's my bad. Don't worry about it. We won't stress about it. Okay, don't worry about it. All right, Pastor Lena talked about her series on soul trouble, War on Soul Trouble. Did anybody look it up? We got one hand. All right. Did anybody watch The War on Soul Trouble? Listen to it? It's on YouTube? You guys did? Recently? Like since she talked about it? No, just in the past. Okay. Fair enough. You've seen it. Okay. God's on this, guys. 3 weeks ago, he had me teach on facing our fears. And it's not like fears of spiders or, you know, fear of water or fear of swimming or fear of heights. We're talking about core framework, who you are at the very basic inner core of you, fear of failing, fear of being abandoned, fear of being rejected, fear of success. There are people that they don't realize it, but they constantly sabotage themselves from having success because they don't know they've never experienced success, and they wouldn't know who they were if they ever got success. And so God had me preach on that 3 weeks ago. And then he had Pastor Lena preach on being faithful. Sometimes we don't know how to leap from one place to another. And if you're just faithful to God, you're faithful to read your Bible, you're faithful to pray, you're faithful to worship, you're faithful to come to church, you're faithful, he will lead you step by step where you need to be. And then it's not such a big, scary, overwhelming thing. And then in that journey of being faithful, you go from being ordinary to extraordinary. Extraordinary. And so if God's on it, we need to get with it. So I want to re-encourage you, get on YouTube, look up the Epicenter, and go and listen to War on Soul Trouble, because God's on it. Now, let me say what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that we need to become navel gazers, meaning we're narcissistic. Let me talk about me. Let me think about me. What do I think about me? What do you think about me? What do you think about how I think about me? And we're going to call that counseling. And let me go scrunching around and focus only on me. But where God wants to put his finger, you know, I'm reading the Bible, and all of a sudden the scripture pops out where it says, seek first the kingdom. And I think, ooh, I was seeking first my career. I was seeking first a spouse, a boyfriend, a girlfriend. I was seeking first my influencer career. I was seeking first Instagram. I was seeking first popularity. I was seeking first notoriety. I was seeking first fame. I was seeking first money. I was seeking first time. I was God. So where God puts his finger on it, then that's where we need to look and not deny it and not sweep it under the rug and not make an excuse for it. Or like we talked about, we're not going to fawn up to it. We're not going to fear it. We're not going to fly from it. We're not going to freeze in front of it. We're not going to fawn up to it, but we're going to have faith and be faithful and step from being ordinary into extraordinary. And so go listen to that and let God get deep on the inside of us to those lies that we've believed for so long that we don't even know they're lies anymore. To those things that have been passed down, perhaps, from generation to generation, that our family's always been in debt. We were born into debt, we'll die in debt. That's just how we are. We buy more than what we make, and we spend more because we gotta feel like we gotta project it to the neighbors that we have more than what we actually do, and we console ourselves by buying a bunch of stuff that we don't need, and so we end up getting in debt, and that's just how our family is. That's how we deal with it. That's just what we do. That's who we are. I'm talking about these deep frameworks. The Bible calls them strongholds. And guess what lives in strongholds? Demonic powers. That's where they live. And Jesus wants us free. He wants you free because he wants you free because he paid for you to be free. But he also wants you free because he has a destiny. He has a plan. He has a place of influence for you. He has a calling and a gifting and a ministry for you that only you can do the way that you can do it. He doesn't want somebody else to do it. He wants you to do it. And so he wants you free for you, but he wants you free for others too. It's what Kirk has taught us. You know, the kingdom of God, it's not about you, but it's not without you. You are necessary in it. And so I was praying this week, and I mean, I grilled the Holy Spirit on this one, because this, I was like, it's not nice. That's just not, I don't like saying that. That's not nice. And he just kept, so if you don't like it, talk to him, okay? I'm not preaching next week. Talk to him. But here's what I heard him say. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. play stupid games, win stupid prizes. So we're going to look at Samson. Samson was the king of playing stupid games and winning stupid prizes. Absolute king of it. Now, if you don't know who Samson was back in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, the kingdom of Israel, they're living in the promised land, but they don't have kings yet. Solomon has not been made king. David is not king. Jehu, Jabez, all these, none of them are king. They have what they call judges. And they had a whole series of these judges, and these were leaders that God would raise up to settle disputes between the tribes or between the families. They would rally the people and lead them to war. These judges, they weren't kings. They couldn't tax you. They couldn't sentence you to death. They, you know, they weren't priests, but these were leaders that God raised up. And Samson was a judge over the Israelites for 20 years. Perfect, he was not. Not at all. And there's many things, and it's too many scriptures to, you know, too many chapters to read. It's like Judges chapters 14 through 16. So I'm not going to read it. I'm going to summarize it. This is the book of Cami, or the version of Cami, okay? So take it with a big grain of salt. But he was born, his mother was barren. And God supernaturally sent an angel to her and told her she was going to have a son, and this is how you're going to raise him, da 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 da. So Samson is born as an only child, a child of promise, a child that they had to wait a long time for. So can you guess what happened to Samson? Spoiled. That is exactly right. That child was spoiled. Now, they told his parents to raise him as a Nazirite. A Nazirite was a group of volunteer people. It wasn't like a tribe. It wasn't a position like a priest. He wasn't a Levi, but you chose to become a Nazirite. And you outwardly showed that, and that you wouldn't cut your hair. There were all these rules because you were super consecrated to God. And so you wouldn't cut your hair, you wouldn't drink wine, you wouldn't touch dead things. There were all these rules about being a Nazirite. And you didn't have to be a Nazirite. So if you were going to say you were going to be a Nazirite, then you should live like you're a Nazirite. Uh-huh. Let me just say, in our culture today, it's grassroots. It's just starting. It's barely, it's not even a wave yet. It's just like the water's rising, where it's becoming popular almost. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing. It's two sides of the same coin. But it's almost becoming popular to be a Christian again. Hallelujah, people coming to Jesus. That's awesome. But with that, you'll get a lot of people who say they are Christians, and it's volunteer. Nobody's saying you have to be a Christian. But because it's popular, they will use the Christian lingo. They will say they are Christians. They will attend church, and I believe it's all seeds being planted. I believe there's going to be a harvest in their life. But are they living up to what a Christian is supposed to be? And so, I know, I see everybody doing the hands. Sorry, 6'7", okay, whatever. And so, I feel like God wants to challenge us to live authentic, genuine, real lives with the good, the bad, and the ugly, because he can use it all. Even though Samson was not perfect, and I'll tell you about his life, he was not perfect. He was still a leader, and God used him, and he was still a judge over Israel for 20 years. But perfect, he was not. So he was raised in this family, spoiled, but he was supposed to be a Nazirite, so they never cut his hair. So, 20 years never cutting your hair. That is, water going on there. He wasn't supposed to touch wine. And God gave him extreme strength, like physical strength. And at the time, the Israelites had once again murmured against God. They had once again started worshiping other gods. And so God had allowed the Philistines, I think they said some in Gaza, these different ones to basically pester them and to rule over them. And so if they got a harvest, the marauders would come in and take their harvest. If they, at pressing time at the wine to gather in the harvest, they would come in and raid it. They would take their cattle. They would take their sheep. They were just a constant pest to them. And so Samson was God's answer to that. And with his brute strength, he sort of put some of those tribes and those marauders into their place. But here it says, do not treat God's gifts as permission to live carelessly. Even though Samson was raised as a Nazirite from the time he was, while he was in his mother's womb, she didn't touch wine, like she lived it. He, the Bible says, went down and started hanging out and drinking with the Philistines and fell in love with one of the Philistine women. He, as a Nazirite, was not supposed to touch dead things. Well, he killed a lion, which, I mean, a lion's attacking you. You got to kill it. That's fine. But then later, when he comes back by and he sees that there's a beehive that is now in this lion, he shouldn't touch the lion. He not only touches the lion, he takes the honey out of the dead lion that the bees are making, and he eats it, and he gives it to his parents. And so he knows all these rules about how he's supposed to live his life, and he knows that the strength that he has from God is a gift, but yet play stupid games, win stupid prizes. But yet, he chooses to live carelessly. So what am I saying? As the people of God, he gives us gifts. He gives everybody gifts, okay? He gives people out there that worship other gods gifts. He gives people that don't even believe in God gifts. He gives each person a gift. We're on a journey of discovering what that gift is and what it means to have it within him and in his kingdom and using it in his way for his glory to bring people to him. But he's challenging us right now to not live carelessly with those gifts. Today we sang, he's fairer than 10,000s. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the King. I felt convicted during worship, and not condemned, but convicted. I'm like, Jesus, you are worthy of my life. You are worthy of everything that I have. You are worthy of everything that I am. Good, bad, and ugly, you are worthy of it. You are worthy of so much more than anything I could ever give you. And it challenged me that I don't live a loose life. I don't live an unintentional life. I don't just take it for granted that he's given me these things and that they're always going to be there and that I can just live however I want to live. And that there's never any consequence to it. Now, I say that, and on the one hand, it's kind of like last time. You know, God wants us to face our fears. On the other side of that, he said, don't be a coward. On the one hand, live the life you know you're supposed to live. But on the other hand, know that if you mess up, There is grace, there is mercy, there is love, there is his blood, there is his forgiveness. I have to hit both sides because some of us want to live in that grace and in that mercy to go out and do what we want to do and make excuses for what we want to make excuses for. Well, this is just my little thing. This is just my little habit. This is how I deal with this. This is how I'm self-medicating and this is how I cope. And so we want to make excuses for it. But on the other hand, God is saying, hey, it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. See, we allow behavior from a 2-year-old that we don't allow from an 18-year-old. And I believe that God I think he's doing this now because in 2026, I believe there are breakthroughs coming. There are destinies coming into place. There are miracles coming into place. There are breakthroughs. And I think he's wanting us to prepare now for that. Does that bear witness with anybody? I feel like I'm having like a family talk this morning. Got a witness back there. See, he doesn't want it to be that the anointing that comes on you isn't supported by the character and the assurity of who Christ has made you and that you are dependent on him. Because if it doesn't, it can crush you and it will crush everybody else around you. Does that make sense? See, I have to know that I know that I know that I know that I am loved by Jesus. And I mean know it so much that I don't fear you liking me. I mean, I love you, but to really love you, I can't be afraid of you. Because then I won't tell you the truth because I'm too afraid of your rejection. Does that make, like, if I'm afraid of you, I can't tell you the truth. And if I can't tell you the truth, you'll never change. And see, Jesus loves us just as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. And so this means I can't be careless with my giftings. I can't be careless with my words. I've said it before, I'm a mouth. There's a lot of things that fly out of me before my brain processes it. And then I have practiced humility and walking some things back. But it means I can't be careless about it. I can't be careless about preparing for my sermons. I can't be careless about the people that God has put around me that I have influence on. It means that I can't live a life behind closed doors. I'm not saying there's not discretion, but I can't live one life behind closed doors and then live another life out here. I need to be the same at home as I am here. I need to be the same at school as I am here. I need to be the same at work as I am here. Use the same language. Talk about the same movies that I may or may not have seen, same TV shows I may or may have not watched, same food or drink I may or may not have eaten or drank. It needs to be, Jesus wants it to be that we are pure and that when he pours into us and then we pour back out, it's a pure wine that's coming out for those around us, or pure water. I said wine because Jesus turned water into wine. Get it? And so we can't be careless about these kinds of things. And Samson was. He was careless about his giftings that God had given him. He was careless about his life. He knew he was not supposed to marry a Philistine woman. And where was he at? He was hanging out with the Philistine girls. Single people. I was one for a long time, okay? I was a single person for a long, oh, and all y'all suffered through it with me. And I mean, y'all might have suffered with it more than me at times. You had to hear about it and wipe all the tears and all the crying. Oh, Christmas. oh, Christmas every year was so tough for me. Whew, whew, it's tough. But he was walking that line. See, rather than let me see how close to the line I can get without slipping over, how about I stay as close to Jesus as I can get? And then if he takes me across that line, when I go across that line with Jesus, I bring others back with me. I'm not slipping into something, you know. Well, I was just walking along the edge and I slipped. Oh, really? Well, how close to the edge were you? Like, is it a shocker? Do you know? Well, we were just sitting in the car at 2 a.m. talking, and lo and behold, we slipped. Really? Shocking. Shocking. Well, I just went to see what might be on sale. I wasn't planning on buying anything, but I slipped. Really? I'm deleting all my shopping apps. I'm just, because then if I don't look, I'm not tempted. If you don't look, you're not tempted. See, here it says, do not flirt with obvious temptation or think you can handle it. Do not flirt with obvious temptation or think you can handle it. I promise you, you can't. You might be able to handle it this time, but it will come back around and get you. See, Samson's pattern with the Philistine women, especially Delilah, shows the danger of repeatedly stepping into situations that pull you away from God instead of fleeing from him. So Delilah was a hottie. She was a hottie. She was a Philistine, but she was a hottie. And he would go and hang out with her, and he had all this long hair. He had all this strength. And she toyed with him, and he knew it. She said, tell me the secret to your strength. You don't love me if you don't tell me. I mean, girls, you know how we can be. You don't love me if we'll first start off just asking sweetly, and then we'll make promises, you know, to get what, and then if that doesn't work, then all of a sudden there's a turn. Some of you guys know this turn. There's a turn, and then it's, well, you just don't love me if you don't tell me, says the single man. Sorry, that, you know, that mouth thing that flies out before it processes? It just hit it. Sorry. Not single forever in Jesus' name. I'll walk that back. Breakthrough 2026. I want a bunch of weddings in 2026. Come on. Girls, get honeymoon ready. Let's all get our little wedding dresses and you know, guest dresses ready. I want a bunch of weddings in 2026. Godly, right weddings, not Philistine Delilah weddings, okay? Let's just say that. So finally, she was so after him for so long, he finally told her the truth. He broke down. We women, we know we can break a man down. She finally broke him down, and darn if she didn't go out and tell the Philistines his secret, and they shaved off his head, and he lost all of his strength. He went into captivity. He was their mule. They literally tied him up to a grinding stone, and he ground wheat and to turn it into flour to feed their army, the army that was going against Israel. Well, what they didn't realize was that his hair was growing back, and eventually, now they gouged out his eyes, so he lost his eyesight, but eventually, he took out all the Philistines, and he went out with them. And so, I mean, you know, there was a little bit of redemption there. That's the story of Delilah. Like he flirted with it. He wanted to see. He thought he could handle it. Let me just see how close. You know, I'll just go out to happy hour with everybody, you know, and I'll get a mocktail. But oops, I slipped. And I had to take an Uber home because I couldn't drive. See, do not rely on past victories instead of present faithfulness. The Bible says that his giftings and callings are without repentance. You may still be anointed. The anointing still goes on. The giftings and the calling still goes on. But that doesn't mean that God is happy about everything that you're doing in your life. That's true for you, and that's true for us. So if you see somebody preaching and their life doesn't match up to it and it's confusing to you and you think they're so anointed, but their anointing is from God. Their character is their choices. For better or for worse, both sides of the coin. I don't want y'all to be confused when you see my life and you hear my preaching. I want it to be the same. I want it to be the same. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I'm not going to hit it. I'm going to hit it right all the time. I can be blunt. I can say things without thinking a lot. But I don't want it to be that there's anything super. I want my life to match. I lived a double life for years. I don't want to go anywhere near that now. I don't want to live on this line. So how not to leave? Don't take the gifts for granted. Don't live carelessly. Don't flirt with obvious temptation. Don't rely on past victories instead of present faithfulness. Now, you know where we do rely on past victories? When we rehearse those to battle the thoughts. God did it before. He can do it again. He saved me. He's still saving me, and he will save me tomorrow. He is faithful yesterday, today, and forever. Those past victories I will rehearse. But I'm not going to say, well, I was good back 20 years ago, and so now this little thing that I got going on the side, it doesn't matter. That's the difference. So how to live? Take holiness and boundaries seriously. Not religiously. It doesn't matter how holy I live if I think it's about me. It's through Jesus. But I take it seriously. I take it, another word, it's overused, but I'll say it, intentionally, on purpose. I try to live holy on purpose. Practice ongoing repentance and dependence on God. We never outgrow repentance. We never outgrow saying sorry to God or to each other. I mean, just this week, I had to say I was sorry to David. Now, it was, I was sorry that I was right. I'm teasing. No, we are very quick to say sorry to each other. Not that we have to that often, but we do if there is. We're very careful about that. Of course, we're still, do you realize it'll be 5 years? Like, we're still honeymoons. Like, we're babies. I'm not really giving any kind of marriage advice here because I'm still a baby. I know that. But we've got to take holiness and boundaries seriously. And realize that they're for our good. If God puts a boundary on us, see, there, the Bible talks about meat that was sacrificed to other gods. And for some people, that was like a huge no-no. And for others, it was okay. And Paul said, follow your conscience, follow the Holy Spirit. There are some people that can probably watch some movies that I can't watch because that's the conviction that God has placed on me. There are some places that people can go that I won't go. That's on me. That's my thing. I'm not putting my thing on them, but I'm taking it seriously. And I'm trying to live a seriously authentic and genuine life. I want it to match. I don't want it that I come to church and I'm all glory, hallelujah, Jesus can do it. And then at home, I'm like, this is hopeless. This is never going to happen. This is the worst. I might it's never going to happen. Like, even, I'm not even talking about, you know, crazy sins. I'm not talking about going out and having sex and all that. What about if we just match our faith? We come in here and we say, Jesus, nothing's impossible with you. And then we go home and say, this is impossible. This is never going to work. I'm never going to make it. I'll never break through. I'll never get that job. I'll never get out of debt. I'll never meet someone. I'll never have that baby. I'll never write that book or that song. Or, you know, like we come in here and we say one thing and then we go home and we experience and we live another. And Jesus is calling us to an authentic one life. One life. Not two or three or four, but one life. Because in 2026, he's got a calling. He's got breakthrough. He has influence. There's revival to be had. And so let's get this stuff wrapped up. I'm cleaning out everything. I took my last test on Tuesday, and Tuesday afternoon, I hit those kitchen cabinets. And I'm cleaning them out, baby. The garage is next. And then I'm hitting the mother load, the closet. Lord, help us, the closet. Clean it out. One life. Trust that God can redeem failure, but do not presume on grace. Okay. See, I'm obedient. You tell me to do something, I'll do it. Trust that God can redeem failure. There is nothing you can do that he can't redeem, no matter how many times you do it. But how many times are you going to have to do it to learn your lesson? And so trust that God can redeem failure, but do not presume on grace. See, Samson appears in Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. The hall of faith, right up there with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and King David and Solomon. Like, he's listed in Hebrews 11. But he died with the Philistines with his eyes gouged out after feeding their army for years, waiting for his hair to grow back because he wanted to flirt with the girl that he knew he wasn't supposed to be with, that he said he was a Nazirite, but he wasn't going to live it. He wanted to walk on that edge and just presume God would make it okay. Yes, God will make it okay. But what kind of cost are you going to have to pay in the meantime? What kind of cost? Like, some of us, you know, we've lived this. There was one point where I had three jobs to try to pay off my debt. Like, I lived it. I got in it. God gave me the energy and the ideas and the ways to get out of it. Hallelujah. But it cost. There were some nights when I was stressed and some days when I couldn't sleep and some times when I couldn't eat. And, you know, I remember scrounging through the car trying to find 75 cents so I could buy a $3 thing, a $3 meal at McDonald's because I had no food because I had spent it all on shoes and purses. Like, yes, there is grace to cover absolutely anything and everything you need. But how about we not use that grace needlessly or think that God's going to always get us out of it? He will, but at what cost? See, he ended up dying blind, humiliated, early. He died young. He was only a judge for 20 years. He died young. Samson died young. He had an early death, and it shows that Jesus forgives all, and he paid the cost. I don't want to confuse anybody. It's only by his blood. It's the price that he paid that we are saved. But there are still sometimes consequences on this earth that we then have to live through when we don't do it his way, the way that he's called us to do it. And so over the next couple of weeks, we've got a couple of weeks left in 2025. It's almost done. What, 3 weeks left? 2 weeks? 2.5 weeks, something. Get on YouTube. Watch War on Soul Trouble. Submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. ask him, God, is there anything in me? I mean, you know, I could probably think of a million things about me, but it's not what I think, because I will always pick the easy stuff. You know, like, oh, Jesus, it's, you know what, I am too vain about my root color, and I am going to get my hair done too much, Jesus. That's what I need help with. And he's like, no, 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 no. It's the fear of man. It's the fear of rejection. That's where we need to go. See, I'll go for, like, the surface stuff, and he wants to go for the deep stuff. And so over the next couple of weeks, watch War on Soul Trouble. God is on this right now. This is what he's doing. We didn't strategize this. We didn't plan this. Nobody knew what I was preaching on today. Nobody knew what I was preaching on 3 weeks ago. I had no idea what Pastor Lena was going to preach on. This isn't a plan, a strategy, a marketing thing. This isn't a manipulation. This is Jesus talking to us. This is the Holy Spirit wanting to work deep in our lives to set us free and to set us up for victory and breakthrough in 2026. And so watch the videos. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me about this? Now, I'm not going to make it about me all the time. It's not all about me all the time. But right now, Holy Spirit, anything you want to do in me, I want to say yes. Anything you want to do in me, I want to say yes. And let him begin to work in me. You will be shocked, shocked at how different you will be when you allow him to do that. All of a sudden, you know, there's that popular little meme thing, you know, well, she may have said it. What she said may have been right, but I didn't like the way she said it. Have y'all seen that little meme? Like, it's like, well, my mom might have been right, but I didn't like the way she said it. All of a sudden, things that used to hurt you won't hurt you anymore because Jesus took the lie out. All of a sudden, the things that used to scare you won't scare you anymore. The things that used to drive you, see, the Bible says that we are to be led of the Holy Spirit, not driven by our fears, not driven by our inadequacies, not driven by the lies that the devil wants to feed to us. And so we'll be able to think right. It's been prophesied to this church that we would put people in their right mind. And I always imagine, like, schizophrenic, bipolar, people that have some serious mental health issues. And I do believe that we will see those healed. But also, I think it's just sometimes the people who are not in their right minds is us. We're not thinking right about some things. And Jesus wants to bring a healing to those places. He wants to bring a right thought, a right reaction, a right motive, a right way of thinking about things. And so stand to your feet with me. We're going to pray. And again, this is between you and Holy Spirit. And don't pray it if you don't mean it, because he's listening. But just ask him, if you dare to, what is he saying to you? He'll talk to you. It may sound like your own voice, but he'll talk to you. And then if you dare to, yield. Yield to him. That thing that he said, just say, okay, have your way in me, Holy Spirit. The way that I think about myself, have your way, Jesus. The way that I think about my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, have your way in me, Jesus. The way that I think about the world, the way that I think about people in general, have your way in me, Holy Spirit. Father, I just thank you that you are setting us up for something good. God, this was your idea, not ours. This is your timing. This is your plan. And so, Lord, we just say, have your way. Have your way in our thoughts. Have your way in our hearts and our minds. Have your way in our bodies. In the name of Jesus, I just command every bit of sickness and illness. I command all flu A, flu B, COVID, norovirus, whatever's going around. Father, I just command it to go in the name of Jesus. I speak to arthritis in the hips and in the back to be healed in the name of Jesus. Whew. Father, I just thank you for breakthrough in our lives. Breakthrough in finances, breakthrough in thinking, breakthrough in relationships. Father, I thank you for breakthrough in addiction, being broken in the name of Jesus. I texted Pastor Lena this morning that I felt like there were miracles to be had today. And they may start in embryonic form, but I know that God is moving in this place. He is moving in our hearts. He is moving in our lives. He is changing us. He is making us different. He is leading us into a year that has more in it than we could ever think or imagine or hope for. And so, Father, I just thank you for breakthrough. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen.